This is The Guardian.
Today, inside Haiti, a country where the government has been removed from power by criminal gangs.
Today in Focus is supported by Rainforest Trust. In honour of this year's Earth Day, we're promoting Rainforest Trust's Brazilian Amazon Fund throughout April. Rainforest Trust is a 501c3 organisation, which means that 100% of all money donated goes directly to conservation efforts. The fund has already helped protect more than 6.5 million acres of rainforest habitat, but Rainforest Trust still needs to protect a further 13 million acres to reach its goal. You can help. Donate online at rainforesttrust.org/earthday this April, and your generous gift will be quadruple matched for the Brazilian Amazon.
Before we begin, just a note, this episode includes graphic descriptions of violence.
I am 22 years old, and this is the first time I fear for my life reporting in Port-au-Prince. It was already difficult. I was robbed and held at a gunpoint couple of years ago in front of my news organization. But it is the first time that I genuinely think I can go to bed tonight and be dead tomorrow.
This is Widlaw Merencourt, the editor-in-chief of a newspaper in the Caribbean country, Haiti. A few weeks ago, two major criminal gangs in the country joined forces. And while the Prime Minister, Ariel Henry, was travelling abroad, they staged a full-scale insurrection.
It is the alignment of rival gangs together fighting government forces which has prompted this latest turn. These are images from a gang leader's drone, spotting government military vehicles, tracking the movement of an army from the air.
In Haiti's brutal turf war, more than 13 people are killed every day.
The overwhelming sense you get is of a capital city not only cut off from the rest of the country, but cut off from the rest of the world.
Thousands of gang members took over government buildings, police stations, hospitals. They shut down the country's main port. They broke into prisons where they released thousands more gang members into their ranks. And by the time they were done, the Haitian government and the police had basically lost control.
Covering Haiti today feels like being in the battlefields, and it's nothing different than what you would see in any movies. There is virtually no place today in Port-au-Prince if a gang member wants to come with his crew of criminals that they cannot do that.
It's the latest catastrophe in a country that's suffered disasters, both natural and imposed, virtually since it was established more than two centuries ago in an uprising of enslaved people. Today, we go inside Haiti to speak to Haitians about what life is like inside a country run by gangs and how and if the government can take back control. From The Guardian, I'm Michael Safi. Today in Focus, how criminal gangs took over Haiti and how Haitians want their country rebuilt. We managed to reach Monique Kleska, a Haitian journalist, a few days ago on a faint internet connection at her house just outside Port-au-Prince.
The feeling is one of tension, apprehension, horror, terror, really. You do not know if the gangs are coming for you during the day or during the night. And there is nothing that will stop them except themselves. So it is a feeling of total helplessness.
Monique, tell me what life has been like for you just the past few days.
I woke up at 5:30, machine guns, the sounds. It was below my hill. And I was like, oh, this is unusual. This doesn't happen around here. And at 6:30, it was detonations, massive detonations. It really lasted practically a minute or more. So then the neighborhood, we have a WhatsApp group, and messages started going around that the neighborhood was under attack, even though it was like maybe 10 minutes from where I am. And so it was pure horror, almost waiting for them to come.
Wow.
The street was barricaded. I couldn't eat until really late afternoon. This is how the tension was. They went into another neighborhood and looted, and there was some killing. We heard about that. That was that day. So I went to sleep early. And then around midnight, I woke up and then couldn't continue sleeping. And then I said, you know what? Maybe I should get some more food in the home, because I felt like it could be a siege or something. So I called my driver, which is motorcycle, because I don't go out in my car. I haven't gone out in my car in over 2 years.
Why not?
Well, because I'm terrified I might be kidnapped. Most kidnappings happen in cars, so I don't go out in the car. So I asked my motorcycle driver, okay, we'll go then to the supermarket. And also, it's good to have some cash in hand. So I bought stuff like toilet paper, you know, and tuna, ATM in the market. And then I came back up. And I saw a dead body by the road.
Oh, God.
I saw burnt cars, burnt motorcycles. I saw a pickup truck that was upside down almost. They left the road either by force or they were just terrified. And I learned afterwards that there was a woman with her children in there and they had died. Tension was palpable, even in the supermarket. It just seemed like nervousness. So, you know, I came home and oof, I made it. I'm alive.
Monique, I can't quite believe that that's how you're having to live right now. That's how millions of people are having to live. How are you coping with that kind of constant stress and tension?
I am privileged in that I live in a kind of semi-urban, semi-rural area, and I have my garden. It is almost the rainy season. It's almost spring. So my lilies are blooming. My irises are blooming. My roses are blooming. So, you know, I just, let me go in the garden. And I go in the garden and then come back refreshed. That is one way that I deal with it.
How Haiti got to this point is a long story. And when you ask Haitians, they give different answers. Some point to the shocking assassination in his bedroom 3 years ago of the country's president, Jovenel Moïse.
We bring you some breaking news now. And Haiti's president, Jovenel Moïse, has been assassinated at his home in Port-au-Prince. The interim prime minister.
Others say you need to go further back to a massive earthquake in 2010 that killed at least 200,000 Haitians, by some estimates, and left more than a million people homeless.
The Caribbean island nation of Haiti has been rocked by its biggest earthquake in more than 200 years. The 7.0 quake hit just south.
Haiti was occupied by the US for nearly 20 years. It suffered a brutal, homegrown dictatorship. But for some, the trouble really started more than two centuries ago, after Haiti's people took their freedom from the French government and were forced to pay compensation to Paris, the equivalent today of more than $20 billion. Monique, too, has her own year that she points to. She says late 2010, early 2011, when a controversial, contested presidential election ended in massive protests and the swearing-in of a president many Haitians saw as illegitimate.
The international community changed the results of the elections. They meddled. And then the political class that came into power installed a criminal regime. Corruption, impunity, and the international community knew.
Haiti's never really recovered from that election, she says. People never really regained their trust in the government, even before the country's president was assassinated.
And then when Jovenel Moïse was assassinated, it left a vacuum, and Ariel Henry came and he did not fill the vacuum.
Haitians have protested, but feel like the international community have been happy to go along with the people in power.
Barricades of burning tires in the streets of Port-au-Prince, Haiti's capital, as protesters took to the streets for the second day in a row. They're calling for Prime Minister Ariel Henry to resign, accusing him of failing to tackle a devastating surge in gang violence.
And over time, slowly, another power has risen in the country: criminal gangs.
So you have the international community supporting a guy who's totally inefficient, not doing anything. You have him, his regime, corrupt, criminal, etc. And then you have gangs just gaining territory, neighborhood by neighborhood, neighborhood by neighborhood, neighborhood by neighborhood.
Widlaw, I think for people who aren't familiar with Haiti, the idea of gangs being able to take over an entire city is hard to comprehend. Tell me about these gangs. Who are they and how do they operate?
Well, Haiti has hundreds of gangs, although the tally officially is difficult to know, but they allegedly have thousands of members. The main gang activities are conducted inside of the metropolitan area of Port-au-Prince, where the main economic activities and political activities of the countries are. And historically, the gang problem was linked to politicians and folks in the economic class who use poor guys in slums to advance their interests.
They call themselves the 103 zombies, living or dying in the service of their boss.
That's all we've got in this country. Most of the young people who haven't left Haiti yet are like us. They take up arms.
And increasingly, some of these gangs escape from their control and are using kidnappings, rape and extortion as a mean for control and more power.
I mean, the way you describe it, Widlaw, it sounds like these gangs are almost an arm of the state that's gotten out of control. One of the most prominent gang leaders in the crisis today is a man known as Barbecue. Tell me about him.
Yes, Barbecue, or Jimmy Cherizier, that's his real name, is a former police officer. He rose to prominence around the year 2019. He was implicated in a brutal massacre in a slum called La Saline, for instance. Dozens of innocent people were killed. He's the most visible gang leader in Haiti.
Right now, on these streets, he is in charge. Barbecue, they call him. Jimmy Cherizé, the leader of a collective of gangs.
And he is the one speaking in the name of the other gangs. He's speaking about what he called the revolution, which would be a fight against the rich class that is considered to be corrupt, but also corrupt politicians in Haiti to liberate the country.
Today, we are telling the international community to give Haiti a chance. We Haitians have to decide who is going to lead the country and what model of government we want.
Experts will tell you that this speech will fall into favorable years in Haiti, which is one of the most unequal countries in the region. However, there is a huge disconnect between his public stance and the real actions of his coalition of gangs. The vast majority of victims of his gang's actions are poor people.
I mean, that's really interesting that even though he's a gang leader, he's a criminal, it sounds like he's very carefully trying to present himself in almost this populist way. Like, as well as being a gang leader, he's got an ear for the politics of this situation as well.
Yes, and he did not start that way. He started as a regular thug, running away from justice, running away from questioning because of his actions in slums, killing innocent people. But although the message is important, you cannot claim to be a revolutionary fighting for the poor when your own gang folks are displacing people by the thousands, when you are associating yourself with gangs who are brutally murdering people in the streets and gangs that are conducting mass rapes.
Monique, what is it like to be a woman in the face of this breakdown in order?
There are two aspects to it. One of them is the economic aspect, because the informal economy is the one that drives Haiti. And a lot of it is held by women. For example, the market that I mentioned, most of it is women. So there are economic repercussions because you can't go out in the street, you cannot sell. Also, you know, you make the money today and then you have money to feed your kids. So they're taking a big hit economically and the families are suffering. A lot of them are displaced also when gangs come. So you can't work. A lot of factories are closed. So that is the economic factor.
Nearly 1 million of Haiti's 11 million people are on the brink of famine, according to the UN. About 350,000 of them are on the run, living on the streets, in tent cities, or in overcrowded schools as gangs invade their neighborhoods.
And then there is the physical safety factor, because in addition to everything else, there is the risk of a very palpable list of being raped, not only being raped, but of being gang raped. And even when people are displaced and go to the school or you take refuge in a public place, whether it is a stadium or whatever, even then there are risks of rape also. And so we're bearing the brunt of the violence. It's tragic, and women will carry those scars for years to come.
Monique, if I could ask you, for people listening to this who are shocked and appalled by what you're telling us, what would you say that women in Haiti need right now in this moment?
Well, the first thing is understanding. Understanding the situation, understanding what it is that we are living, understanding that a lot of it has to do with the conditions, the poverty, the inequality, and the lack of services. I think it is important to see that. And I think it is important to target whatever support is coming to not only women-led organizations, but initiatives that favor women. To restart your business, to have some little capital. And we're going to need a massive psychological support for all the trauma that women in particular have endured, particularly with the gender-based violence.
Coming up, how does Haiti free itself of criminal gangs? And then how does it rebuild in the right way? In In Norway, a woman's boyfriend forgets who she is overnight. In Detroit, a man is arrested, but he was never at the crime scene. In Spain, disturbing pictures of young girls have appeared, and no one knows who's behind them. Something strange is happening. A collision between people and artificial intelligence. Discover more in The Guardian's new series, Black Box. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes Monday and Thursdays.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
After the gangs took control of Port-au-Prince, they called for the Prime Minister, Ariel Henry's, resignation. And a few days later, Henry appeared on TV from Puerto Rico, where he offered to resign.
Haiti's Prime Minister has agreed to resign after weeks of increasing gang violence. This follows crisis talks between...
He was hoping the gangs would declare victory and back off, hand the city back to the police. But they didn't. And now, political leaders and gang leaders are at an impasse.
With no elected civilian government, chaos on the streets, and a group of gangs who control vast swathes of the country, to all intents and purposes, Haiti is now controlled by a federation of gang bosses, which is arguably a world first.
We thought, politically, is there a plan for getting Haiti out of this situation?
There are ongoing discussions between different stakeholders, including the Caribbean community, the U.S., and many stakeholders in the political sector here in Haiti. The framework that is emerging is a presidential council and a new prime minister and a new cabinet. And once this is in place, the actual prime minister and his team will resign.
Accepter pour le mettre en place. Un conseil.
It's been agreed to set up a presidential transitional council. Once chosen, the council will govern over different sectors of national life.
And these people, along with the help of a multinational security force, would pacify the country and bring it to the next elections. Because today in Haiti, you have zero elected officials because elections were not conducted on time. But it's a long road ahead. And the situation is already dire.
Is it possible for the Haitian government to be put back together again in a way that doesn't include some sort of representation from the gangs who seem to be in control of the capital city?
Now that the gangs are in a position of power and they have the upper hand, their allies are talking about amnesty for all the crimes that they committed in recent years. But what is certain is the idea that after ransacking businesses, after raping child and women and men, after killing hundreds of people, after burning houses, it is very unpopular, this idea that the gangs would have amnesty. So their allies are calling for not just some amnesty, but also representation in government. But many serious people would not accept to be part of any council with a gang member today in Haiti. That idea, I think, is laughable.
But then what will it take to actually push these gangs out of the areas they control, to disarm them so they don't just come back in the future?
That's a good question. It's unclear how we would go about this disarmament, especially when you don't have a Haitian National Police that has enough equipment, enough personnel, because hundreds of police officers left the country in recent years. Many of them died, but hundreds of them left also to go to the United States and other places to seek shelter and a better life. So that leaves you with a force that was about 10,000 with even less personnel. You have an army that is not properly constructed with even less members and no equipment and the proper budget. It isn't clear how you do that.
You talked about one proposal by the international community, which is to send in a multinational force. Where would those officers come from? How many would there be? And how likely would they be to succeed in beating the gangs back?
Kenya would lead an international force. They promised about 1,000 police officers.
We are making this response because it is what is right. It is what humankind can do to fellow humankind.
And other countries in Africa and elsewhere promised to send also personnel for this force. As of now, the personnel is believed to be in training and waiting for equipment and proper funding so they can be deployed to Haiti. They are also waiting for an established government to negotiate with and interact with when they come to Haiti. But the question of how they can be successful in Haiti is still open, because it is going to be the first time Kenyan police officers are going to be deployed in this part of the world, and they speak English in a country where people speak French. How are they going to work? Are they going to attack the gangs? Are they going to do so by themselves? Or are they going to do so in coordination with the Haitian National Police? What about the part of the National Police that is not healthy, that is connected to gangs, etc.? So many questions are still unanswered.
And is the answer here international intervention, something that has such a fraught history in Haiti? Is that what's needed in the country right now?
Historically, international interventions in Haiti's affairs did not bring about good results for the country, right? When the United Nations sent soldiers in the years 2000, they bring with them cholera, and about 10,000 people in Haiti were killed and close to 800,000 were infected by the disease that is still a big problem in Haiti.
The deadly disease spread after UN peacekeepers dumped infected sewage into a river in 2010.
They left so many kids without proper assistance whatsoever. And still today, the UN is not personally, individually compensating the people victims of the cholera that the force bring to the country. So there is this international meddling in Haiti affairs that makes so many people unease because it did not bring good results, okay? But what is certain is the Haiti force, as of now, they cannot take on this issue by themselves.
Whitlaw, what do you think the Haitian people want out of this atrocious situation that they found themselves in? And do you think that there's any hope for politics there to deliver that for them?
Well, I do think that today a conscience is emerging that Haiti problems needs to be solved by Haitian people. It is now understood that there is a way of doing politics in Haiti that is going against the needs and the will, frankly, of the Haitian population. And the Haiti folks I talk to, at least, are asking the international community to once listen to Haitian voices and let Haitian people deal with the situation. I speak to Haitian National Police officers telling me, for instance, the hundreds of millions that they are seeing announced for this international force, if a fraction of it was to be invested in the Haitian National Police to vet the police force, to help them with trainings, to help them, you know, with equipments, a huge part of the insecurity problem would be solved. So I think what the Haitian people want is some help in this emergency, but also some structural changes in the ways the international community interacts with Haiti, in the ways they interact with Haitian politicians. And then internally, we need new elections so the country can go back to some sense of normalcy and prosperity can start flowing, not in one side to the minority, but to the majority, the vast majority of the Haitian people, which is suffering for decades.
Monique, finally, I want to ask you, what role do you think the world should play in helping Haiti to get back on its feet? And I guess just as importantly, what role do you think the world should not play in that process?
I think the world should not meddle. I think the world should not tell us what to do. I think also the world should not watch us just, a bunch of black folks who don't know what they're doing, or the poorest country in the world, what do you expect? What should be done is the encouragement or the walking together to support the initiatives that we decide are the solutions for us going forward.
Monique, we really appreciate you giving us some of your time to tell us about the situation there, and I hope you find some way to stay safe.
Thank you.
That was Monique Kleska, a freelance journalist in Haiti. Thank you so much to her, as well as to Widlaw Merencor, the editor-in-chief of the Ayibo Post, a Haitian news outlet. There's more coverage of Haiti at theguardian.com, including a column by Keenan Malik that goes into great detail about the way that Haiti has been robbed and hobbled by bigger powers over the years. Its headline is "Plundered and Corrupted for 200 Years. Haiti was doomed to end in anarchy." And that is it for today. This episode was produced by Courtney Youssef and Nima Job. Sound design was by Eli Block. The executive producers were Phil Maynard and Elizabeth Casson. And we're back with you tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
A third of students are less than happy about their university choice, new research by EY has revealed. The findings suggest that a digital rethink is essential to meet the expectations of students and staff. Universities can address this by putting the needs of the people they serve at the heart of their digital strategies. Learn more about the future of human-centered higher education at theguardian.com/transforming higher education. This message was paid for by EY.